You're listening to the ELT Chat Podcast. Hello and welcome to the ELT Chat Podcast. I'm your host, James Taylor, and while ELT Chat may be on its summer break, here at the podcast department, we're going to bring you three great shows to fill the gap. Today, you're going to hear firstly from Dina Dabru as we summarise last month's chats. Then, Joanna Sterling and I discuss spelling. And finally, Bruno Andrade reports from the Brazzatissel Conference in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. So regular listeners will know that every month I'm joined by Sandy Millen to summarise the last month in ELT Chat. However, this month Sandy's on Olympic duty, so coming off the bench is our super sub, Dina Dobru. Hello, Dina.
Hello, James.
Thanks for joining me.
And thanks for giving me the chance to catch up with ELT Chat.
My pleasure. Now, you've been away a lot this month, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Been trying to tame teenagers at summer school.
So as you're such a keen ELT chatter, did you enjoy this opportunity to catch up?
Yes, it was a great chance for me to read about chats that I didn't attend but would have attended had I had the time, and especially the new chats that I'm not very often on.
Okay, so which was the first chat that caught your eye?
It was helping students improve their speaking abilities for proficiency tests, as I teach exam classes myself. Mm-hmm. And what I found interesting was what I have spotted myself, that fluency is the key for proficiency tests, and that focusing on accuracy or grammar might cause students to think about words and structures and don't actually speak, which reduces cuts of marks of their fluency. And some ideas that were mentioned were that we need to start early on with general fluency practice with our students and move on to exam type activities later on. Mm-hmm. One idea I really liked was to record students as they practice and encourage them to do some peer correction, maybe giving both positive feedback, of course, with the use of web tools such as Audioboo and Voxapop and Vocaroo, which will help if they build up portfolios, for example, using these web tools, they can see how they have improved over time. So that's a really good idea. And one other thing I really liked, helping students overcome nerves, which is something I haven't tried, but I felt really compelled to try next time. I have an exam prep class, was to use role plays with someone being the worst nightmare examiner.
Oh, really? That's a good idea.
Yeah, that caught my attention.
Do you think you could do that? Do you think you could be the worst nightmare examiner?
When I saw that tweet, I thought of asking students, because they're really, what if she's bad, what if he's bad, and what if he's really scary, and what if they... So I was thinking of asking my students to maybe make a list of what the elements of a really nightmare examiner would be, and I would try to be that person when examining them, just for the fun as well.
That's a great idea, excellent idea. So what was the second chat that interested you?
It was fresh and inspiring sources for your teaching. And some ideas that were mentioned were news stories, using news stories, pictures and visual content, films and clips, but making sure that these are suitable and they have linguistic benefits.
Sure.
And maybe even engage the students in choosing the film, because that would make it more interesting for them rather than imposing our own favorite film on them. Definitely another idea that I really like was podcasts and audio resources. And then they can see again their improvement over time. Use of technology, and one fantastic idea, which very rarely, I think, at least in my context, we very rarely do it, taking students outside of a classroom whenever possible to keep things fresh. It was a great idea. Or if that is not possible, at least virtually take them out using Google Maps or Google Earth, perhaps.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's something I'm always tempted to try and do. And at the moment, I'm teaching business presentations, so it's hard to engineer an opportunity to do that, I think.
Yeah.
But the idea of taking them outside, it's very appealing to me as well. So, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what about the third chat that appealed to you?
The third one was, what do we do when a lesson goes horribly wrong? How do you cope and recover? Have I been there? So
we've all been there. We've all been there.
Yes, that's. And having said that, I'm going to start with the tweet that really caught my attention, which was that this sort of situation can leave inexperienced teachers lacking in confidence, because the first few years of my experience, my teaching experience, it was it did happen quite a lot, of course, but. It's always very helpful if you can have someone tell you, you know, that it's okay, it's a learning experience, as it was mentioned in the chat, and making mistakes shows that you're trying, and another good quote was, a bad day can happen to anyone. So these are some of the best advice that an inexperienced teacher can get early on. Other than that, it was basically some of the really good ideas were that we can switch activities, mm-hmm. and reflect after the lesson, and have a couple of fillers up our sleeves just to manage such situations when something goes wrong. And of course, I mean, have the courage to admit in class that something did not really work as we planned, and discuss with the students on what we can do, and again, involve them in what is happening in class.
That's great, Dina. Thank you very much. It was very interesting.
Thank you very much, James.
Okay, so thanks thanks for joining me, and you've done a great job coming off the bench there to substitute for Sandy.
Thank you very much. That was some really big shoes to fill in. I was just having a fab time. William Briggs.
Okay, and we'll speak to you soon, I'm sure.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
On the 11th of July, we were discussing spelling in ELT chat. It was a lively and interesting discussion with plenty of ideas and talking points. One name which was repeatedly mentioned during the chat was Joanna Sterling, the author of Teaching Spelling to English Language Learners. And I'm delighted to say that Joanna now joins me on the line. Hello, Joanna.
Hi, James.
Thanks for joining us.
It's great to be here. Okay. I was sorry to miss the chat. Unfortunately, I had to work that night, so couldn't come. But no, it's great to be here now.
No, it's good. And now you've got an opportunity to catch up and to let us know what you think.
Yes, because there were things that I was, when I read through the chat, I was burning to say. I thought I missed it. So well, it's nice to have the chance.
Now you've got your chance. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with the basics. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Singer Nick tweeted, reading is the key to good spelling. Do you agree with that?
I think if you don't read, you're probably going to find it really hard to improve your spelling, because as you read and you see words a lot, then it'll probably help you to recognise when words are spelt wrongly. So, yes, I think spelling is definitely important, but reading is definitely important for spelling, but I don't think it's enough. There are a lot of people who can actually read well but can't spell well, which I think tells us quite a lot. Mm. And often I think people don't really notice spelling. They get the message from reading, mm-hmm. but they don't really notice the spelling. And then because reading is receptive, you know, they can't always transfer that to the active skill of writing. So, yes, I think reading is important, but I think we need to do lots more than that. I'm quite convinced it's not enough for a lot of people.
Okay, yeah, because Sharon Hartle followed this up by saying that she's noticed that students who learn a lot from songs and places like this, rather than reading, are not good spellers.
Okay, I mean, it's an interesting observation. But, yeah, I think that Yes, if you've learnt it hourly, if you've learnt English hourly, you know, so from listening, and you haven't been reading, it does make sense that you wouldn't be able to spell as well. But I still don't think that just reading is enough. I think we have to help students to really notice spelling. We have to be a bit more explicit about it. Not for all. For some people, reading seems to be enough. But for others, they definitely need more.
Okay. Tefl Lurinia tweeted, some nationalities struggle more than others. And in her opinion, it's easier for Latin languages. Do you agree with that? Do you have an experience of different cultures having different problems with spelling?
I mean, for me, the people who've had the biggest problems in my experience have always been Arabic speakers. Okay. And I think there are several reasons for that. One, of course, is that they use a different alphabet and it's much more phonetically regular than English is. Another is I think it is a more oral language. And so in some ways, perhaps writing is less important. Their vowels, we have much more focus on vowels than they do. I think vowels are often a bit optional in Arabic, and sometimes my students seem to see them as a bit optional in English as well, you know, or which ones you use. And then, of course, there's the whole thing of writing left to right and not right to left. So I think Arabic speakers have particular challenges when it comes to writing in English. It's interesting with Chinese students. I don't want to overgeneralize here, but this is just some things that I've noticed, that they don't have as many problems, I would say, generally, as Arabic learners. And I think that's because they're used to learning learning what words look like. Because for a lot of Chinese, that's what you have to do. You have to learn what a word looks like, not just what it sounds like. And so, yeah, they don't seem to have as many problems. Thinking about Latin languages, generally it's easier because so many words are similar, except often things like double letters.
Yeah,
I'm working with a Spanish group at the moment, and you know that's the biggest problem for them, and is actually which letters are doubled and which aren't.
Okay, so the final tweet I want to read to you, and I think you'll like this one, is also by the excellently named Ministry of Shiny, who said, definitely look for Joanna Sterling's book and blog. Have used it with Arabic students, and it was very useful.
I do like that, yeah. So I wrote a book called Teaching Spelling to English Language Learners, and it was my whole interest in spelling started mainly because of my Arabic learners, actually, and I felt like I couldn't help them. They asked me how to improve spelling, and I said things like, oh, you need to read a lot, and I knew that that wasn't the whole answer. So I started researching it, then I did my MA dissertation, and somehow a few years later it turned into a book. So in the book I start off, there are three sections. The first part is about the issues around spelling, about the language itself, and about teaching it to English language learners. Then in the second part I outline a methodology for teaching it to English language learners. And the final part is lots of activities, about 70 different activities that you can do to help students.
And I understand congratulations are in order, as you've won an award. Can you tell us about that?
Right, okay. I'm delighted that the British Council have got a new award for ELT writing. And I have to say I didn't actually win the award as such. Michael Swan and Catherine Walter won that. But I got a special commendation, which I was very happy about.
It sounds like an award to me.
Thank you very much. Yes. this was all administered by the Society of Authors. So it was wonderful. I got to go down to London and be presented. I was presented with something. So I think it was an award. And people said lots of nice things. And so, I was delighted to get that because, in fact, I self-published the book, which means that as well as writing it, I did all the editing, the layout, the indexing. I do all the marketing and everything. And one of my ex-students did the cover. But otherwise, I did everything myself. So I was pretty chuffed about that.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You have your blog, the appropriately named spelling blog.
Yep.
What can people find there?
Lots of stuff about spelling, sometimes about the systems of English spelling, especially when I find interesting little things or things that I think teachers particularly want. Sometimes ways to teach, as I say, ways to correct or little spelling games, things like that. Links to other sites, all that kind of thing. Also, there are some downloadable resources there. There are some things that support the book. I've made some audio recordings that people can download, for example, where there are dictations and stuff like that. So lots of things. And I've also got, a few months ago, I started a Facebook page as well, which is called Making Sense of English Spelling.
Anna's book, Teaching Spelling to English Language Learners, is available now via her blog, and you can find a link to that, as well as her Facebook page, on the info page for this podcast at eltchatpodcast.podomatic.com.
So, hello everyone, this is Bruno speaking for ELT Chat Podcast. I'm here at Brass Tissot, the National Convention in Rio de Janeiro, the wonderful city. It's been a great conference so far, and here I am with Leandra Dias from Recife. She's a teacher, and she has just given a talk which was wonderful, and she will talk about that in a minute. So, Leandra, how are you enjoying this conference so far?
Well, I'm quite enjoying the conference, and I'm somehow amazed because it's my first time here, and I can see that people are working very hard on providing the participants with a wide variety of presentations.
Oh, nice. And what have you attended so far? What was the presentation that caught your attention the most?
Well, there was one I liked a lot. It was Eduardo's presentation about creative thinking. And I really liked the way he presented his ideas about creative thinking and how you can promote that in the classroom. Like, he really came up with practical ideas.
Yes, I was there, and it was a wonderful presentation. I'm looking forward to applying some of his suggestions into my practice as well. And what about your presentation, Leandra? I've heard it was a very big success. Well, what did you talk about?
Oh, that's great to hear. I talked about how we can adapt our syllables to better meet our students' needs, especially teenagers. And in this presentation, I talked about how I created a better relationship with my students through three projects. We worked together. It was a very collaborative thing. And I guess the students really liked, and the outcome was really good.
Yes, I know. Very nice. So, Leandra, I know that you and Eduardo Santos, you are Lea_Dias on Twitter, and Eduardo is ELT Bakery. You are a very active participants of ELT Chat, right?
Yes, we are. We try our best. The only problem is that sometimes we are working and we're not able to attend the chat. But yes, we are. And I have to say that this sharing from the ELT chat has changed a lot my point of view as a teacher.
And how do you think that ELT chat helps us become better teachers in terms of professional development?
What I think is that the ELT chat is something really concrete. It's live. So sometimes we look for professional development in books, but we only talk to the book. We don't have the chance of asking further questions, and it happens in the ELT chat. If I have a question, I can talk to different people and I can compare different points of view, and then I can come up with my own point of view on a topic.
Very good, Leandro. So thank you very much. We'll be heading to the Pechatka event right now, and we'll see you later. Bye. Here with me I have Cecilia Lemos. Cecilia has been an active participant of ELT chat, and I'm going to make her some questions. So Cecilia, what are your impressions of the conference so far?
Well, so far I've been some great sessions and plenaries, and but as in every conference, a great part of what, you know, the best part of the conference maybe is just the sharing and talking and networking and with other teachers. I think that we're definitely at a crossroad. There's going to be some changing, and we are trying to figure out where we're going, but that's the feeling, that's the vibe that I got from the conference.
In terms of change, what do you think is the word of the day? What has been said that mostly caught your attention?
I think that probably more and more at conferences now, the word or the feeling that you get is like the most important word that is said is balance and reflection. You know, there's no wrong approach or wrong methodology. We have to see what the students want and base our planning and our teaching according to that, according to our students' needs.
Yes, true. And Cecilia, I've been to two presentations of you, and one of them was the Pecha Kucha, which was really, really hilarious, if I may say. And your presentation, which was very serious and very interesting as well. Can you talk about them?
Well, thank you first. But the presentation was something, the serious presentation, as you put, was something that I really enjoyed talking about. It's a real interest of mine within EOT and teaching, which is assessment. It was very interesting discussing assessment and alternative assessment with other teachers and having the chance to answer people's questions about alternative assessment and whether it works or not, because I do believe it is the best way of assessing students. And the Pecha Kucha, oh my God, I can't believe it's such an adrenaline rush, and you feel like you're going to pass out on a stage, but I had a lot of fun making it, and I had, you know, after the initial, I'm going to pass out or throw up in the middle of the stage, you're so nervous, and a couple of cries before going up stage, I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I did too. It was awesome. So thank you, Cecilia, and I'll see you around.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
This time I have Henrik Oprea. Henrik was one of the MCs of the convention, and he runs his own language institute in Brasilia. And he's done a great Pechatka last night. So I would like to ask him a couple of questions. What was the biggest impression you had about the conference?
I've been coming to Brass Easel conferences since 2000. And every time I come, I'm more amazed about the quality of participants and the quality of the convention in itself. This is the 13th Brass Easel Conference, and I guess we've never had so many great speakers and great talks as we have now. And the good thing about this is that we know that we're only improving. So I think my main impression is of quality. I think that if you're looking for professional development and you're in Brazil or in the area, this is definitely the place for you to be.
Yeah, true. And Herrick, you are an active participant of ELT Chat. So how would you connect this kind of professional development that is out there and free for everyone and this ones that we can get from conventions and conferences such as this one?
Well, I believe that the best way for us to develop and to seek professional development is by interacting with people, and that's one of the biggest advantages of coming to conventions like this. You actually get to talk to people. You see great talks, but you also can interact with people and you can discuss what you've just seen. And there's a big connection with ELT Chat because that's also a fantastic place for you to interact and to learn from people and to exchange ideas. So it's lots of food for thought. And that's how I believe that we learn. We learn through interaction. I think that learning is a social activity. And here, you can socialize with pretty much anyone from all over the world.
Yeah, true. So thank you very much, Herrick.
Thank you.
So that's it for part one of our August Triple Bill. Next week, you'll be able to hear the full uncut interview I did with Joanna Sterling on spelling, which I highly recommend. Joanna had some great insights to share. And the week after, you'll hear more interviews from our ELT Chat community. Thanks to our guests. For links to their Twitter handles and blogs, go to eltchatpodcast.podomatic.com. And there, you'll find our subscription details and growing archive of podcasts. Thanks for listening. My name's James Taylor, and I'll see you next week for the ELT Chat podcast.